Turn in your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah 23:29. Jeremiah 23:29. My text is taken from this verse, or I should say my title and my text, I suppose. Is not my word like a fire? Is not my word like a fire? Again, notice the first part of Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock to pieces? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it is God-breathed, that is powerful, that it changes lives if we'll follow it. And I just pray that you will bless the preaching of your word this morning, that you'll prick hearts, that you'll convict, that we will honor it, that we'll use it more because we came this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Please turn now in your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3. And I just want to say that throughout the Bible there are many similes given to the Word of God. It's likened to a sieve that sifts in Psalm 105. It's likened to a light to search in Psalm 119, a hammer to break in Jeremiah 23, a knife to cut in Acts 5, a seed to sow in 1 Peter 1, and it's likened to a sword to slay in Hebrews 4. And again in Jeremiah 23:29, the word is likened to a fire. Our Bible is not just another book. That's the idea that I want to get across this morning. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, again, there's some of you that never read the Bible. You say you don't understand the Bible. And what I read, or maybe you read along with me, it just was a bunch of gobbledygook. But if you think well, you read, it's a wonderful verse. Again, stop. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What does that mean? That we hold in our hands the Word of God. It's inspired by God. And it is profitable, it's good for doctrine, for reproof. What's reproof? It's when your preacher gets on you. But it shouldn't be just your preacher getting on you. It's reading the Bible. It ought to convict your heart. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and it's given to us to be able to live by. It teaches us. It instructs us in righteousness. It teaches us how to live a godly life, that the man of God may be perfect. You read this and you will be right with God, thoroughly furnished. The idea is that we'll have everything we need if we follow God's word. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Again, it's not my word, every word. God is not just given thoughts, but God gave us the Bible inspired by Him, every word. God's word is like a fire. That's what our text passage says. It ignites the soul. And one of the dangers of an independent Baptist church like ours that God has blessed for decades is that we get accustomed to God's greatness. We get to the place where we don't get thrilled anymore. We don't get excited about the Bible. And again, I can say this, but it probably doesn't mean much to you. But you know, most independent Baptist churches don't have one soul saved in a year. Now, I don't say that to brag on ourselves, but I'm saying we ought to thank God. If we don't thank God, He's going to take it away. Most independent Baptist churches don't have somebody walk the aisle, ever. Okay? They never walk the aisle to get things right. It's a blessing. What I'm trying to say, it's a blessing to see people saved and then see them grow, see their life changed. I'm not going to refer to anybody, but I'm saying that some of you are a real blessing. You come in all bedraggled and down and everything like that, and after a while you get saved and your countenance changes, and then your life begins to change and your whole family begins to change. That's God. And it's only done through God's Word. And as you sit here, don't think that it's a program. Don't think that it's a preacher. It's God. It's God's Word. He's the only one that can take and literally change lives. And some of you have been changed drastically, but it becomes old to you. Don't let it get old. You ought to be rejoicing more and more all the time. See, people seem to lose the thrill, say, of winning souls, and they accept as a matter of fact the great works of God. I use them as an illustration to remind you, and I'm sure then it gets old. To the new people, you say, wow, could that have really happened? Yes, God really did it. But for us older people, sometimes we just yawn and say, I've heard that 59 times before. You see, don't get used to God's blessings. Don't let these things get old to you. We need to say anew and afresh, Lord, set my soul afire. Ignite my soul with the Word of God. Now, let's look at some reasons this morning why the Bible's likened to a fire. And the first thing I would look at is that fire gives zeal. Now, some people say with their mouth, or at least with their life, I don't want to burn out. I've watched some of you. You got saved. You got excited. You were thrilled. Man, you wanted to do the work of God. And you just kind of came to the place where, well, let's not get too excited about it. Let me say, unless you are growing, unless you're more excited about the things of God than you were last year or the year before that, you're backslidden. You see, people say, well, I don't want to just burn out. I want to burn out. Okay? I've always said that. I want to burn out. I don't want to rust out. And what I'm saying is that we need to read God's Word and study it and let it pour over our souls and make it a part of our life. And that's why it's called of a fire, and that's what gives us enthusiasm. Sometimes Christians just sit, cross their legs, and bounce their foot, and they're just they're not excited. You know, some of you fight everything. You want to do it your way, and let me tell you something: you're destroying your life. You can get mad at me if you want, but you're not only destroying. You've only got one life. And it'll soon be past. And only what's done for Christ will last. And let me say something. That you fight the Word of God. You put up the straw man and say, I don't agree with that preacher. Well, you're going to have a new preacher in 6 months. You can say the same thing about him. And anybody that would believe the Word of God, you can set up a straw man, but it's the Word of God. And if you fight the Word of God, you're miserable. I just can never figure that out. Why do people want to be miserable? Why? Why do people want to be miserable? I don't agree with that. How's your marriage? I don't agree with that. How's your kids? Well, it's your fault. It's my husband's fault. It's somebody else's fault. No, it's your fault. Because you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe the Word of God. The Word of God tells us exactly how to live, how to have a family, how to be successful in a Christian life. But you've got to have enthusiasm. You've got to get with it and not just sit there and grit your teeth. Well, you say, we need to trust the Lord. Yes, but let's have some enthusiasm about trusting God. You know, as a young man, I would read the Bible and I would believe it. The point I'm trying to get at is when the Bible said 3,000 were saved and baptized and added to the church, I believed it. And then when 5,000 were saved, baptized, and added, I believed it. And when the Bible said, if you preach the word, you'll get results, I believed it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? When the Bible said we could trust God, I believed it. When the Bible said you pray and find my will for you and then just do it and I'll take care of it, I believed it. And that's why our church has seen some miracles, not as many as I think God would have liked us to, but I believed it. And what I'm trying to get you to do is believe it. Believe the Word of God. Don't reason it away. But then, second, fire captures more territory. You ever start a brush fire? I did. In fact, the Damerons did. I fire truck and everything, all of a sudden, they're dumping. What kind of people dump hot coals into dry grass? Clint Dameron. He just wanted to see the fire truck come. But if you've ever had anything to do with it, it spreads, doesn't it? It's exciting in the wrong way. And the things get dry and we hear about it on the news all the time, don't we? In the West in particular, it's eating up houses and they can't control it. Let me tell you something. That's what the Bible tells us our Christian life should be like. It ought to be gaining more territory all the time. I think the history of this church is thrilling. You start, I've been teaching that in my CE class, and you start in a little old tiny room with my wife playing a little plastic organ. And if somebody could have seen that, they'd say, this thing's not going anyplace. And it shouldn't have gone anyplace. I preached, was it a Tide box? John, a Tide box. Now, isn't that stupid? You future preachers, don't do that. At least get yourself something better looking than a Tide box. I mean, you can't even pound it, you know. A Tide box and a little toy organ. Now, listen. Only God could do what he did. Knocking on doors. When the Bible says you go door to door and you win souls, you baptize souls, you just do it and you believe. Now, I've said over and over again, I don't think I'm much of a Christian. I don't think of myself as much of a Christian. But if there's anything I do have, and that's faith. Faith. I have faith in the Bible, that it is the Word of God. And if we follow the Bible, and that's why I try to tell you what a lousy education I had and what a lousy personality I had. Because you can't say, you know, Tommy, he's going to build a church on his personality. People say, wow, what a personality. I still don't have a personality. You see? But after a while, it just starts growing and spreading. And it's like a wildfire. And I can remember one time, I don't ride the bus as much, but there was a problem. And I was in Michigan City, and we were going over a set of tracks. And I looked down, and there were six Fairhaven buses crossing the tracks at the same time. That was a thrill. And you can say, now we have 60, 65 acres. Yeah, but it's more than that. This thing has spread sparks of it, at least, and bonfires across the nation, around the world. From that little tiny classroom with a little toy organ. I preached for Courtney Lewis in Hyde Park last Sunday night. And he started in a little community house, or, you know, building, and then he came into this Lutheran seminary. Now he has a bigger auditorium, and we preached. I believe there was 126 or 128 people there, and we preached, and we saw souls saved. His realtor got saved, and other people got saved, and that's a thrill. And that goes back to the little room, you understand? 2 weeks before that, I preached down in Belize for Pastor Whitaker, and he started in his house, and now he's in another building, and we put a tent up, and he needed kind of a double tent, and there were 166 people there, and souls are saved, and he's at least going to have to knock the wall out in the building, and I believe that they'll end up starting a building within a year or so. You understand, that's God. And it comes right back to that little room. And what was it, 6 months ago, I was with the Reardons down there. And they had such a crowd. I don't remember how many people were there. But down in Mexico City, they had such a crowd that I got a kick out of it, pulling the chairs off the platform so people could have a seat. And since then, we've sent a couple of our men down, and we've helped them, and they're about tripling the size of their auditorium. And I believe we'll hear in April, I'd venture to say they'll break their record. Now you say, what are you getting at? Is not my word like a fire? You see, if you believe it. When we first started the church, it seemed like all I did was preach on faith and faith. Well, you say, why? I was preaching to myself. You have to have faith to have a good marriage. You have to have faith to have good children. You have to have faith to win souls. You have to have faith to do anything for God whatsoever. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord? The fire spreads and captures more territory. And in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, I'll read it. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Did you get that, old Christians? Did you get that? You that have been saved for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, the light gets brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. Then fire burns. It burns your conscience. Some people say, let your conscience be your guide. Yes. If it's geared to the Bible and the Word of God, you get in the Bible and it'll burn your conscience. Now, when I say get into the Bible, I'm not saying just peruse through. I'm saying read it. I've never been one that thinks you should read your Bible through every year. Now, people believe that. That's fine. I'm not against it. I'm not saying it's wrong. But I think sometime when we try to read too much, we don't get much out of it. I believe we should read the Bible and let it sink in, and it'll burn your conscience. If you read the Bible, truly read the Bible, you're not going to want to watch filth, whether it's at the movie house or a DVD or on a computer. You're not going to want to. You read the Bible and the Bible will convict you about immodest dress. You see, I don't care what it is. People say that church is crazy. You know, they have these old-fashioned. And we're old-fashioned. And you know what's wrong? That churches are changing with the world. They're changing to attract the world. And that's not Bible. I don't understand it. It's just like the Republican Party, and I'm no big Republican. Please don't misunderstand me. But they had a conference, and they're talking about how they can change to attract more people. It'll destroy them more than they are now. You don't change to attract people. You do what's right. Whether you're saved or not, I don't think most Republicans are saved. But you do what's right. And this idea of changing to attract people is not right. You change to be more like the Bible. And you trust the Lord. And sometime you lose people. We've lost some people. We've had to vote some people out in recent months. But I guarantee you, it's just like pulling weeds out. I guarantee you, God will keep on building this church. If you just do what's right, and if you do what's right and you're a wife, you'll see the Bible says you're to be submissive to your husband. It's as simple as that. That doesn't mean you wiggle behind him. It doesn't mean you weasel. It doesn't mean anything. It means you follow your husband. Amen. But that means also, husband, you're supposed to lead the home. You're supposed to be scriptural. You're supposed to go by the Bible. You're supposed to be right. Now, again, I say, if you're right with God, you say, I can read the Bible and it doesn't bother me, then you're not serious. You should be continually taking on more ground. Turn to Isaiah, if you'd like. Whenever I say turn, if you don't want to, you can listen to me. Isaiah 6. Something else the Word of God does is purify. Purify. Isaiah 6, starting with verse 1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And I'll tell you, you see him and you'll feel unclean. I worry about people who think they're good Christians. I do. Let me say that again. I worry about people. If you sit here and you think, I'm a pretty good Christian, I do this or this or this, you're not right with God. It's as simple as this. I was just reading Whitfield and a little bit on Wesley. They never thought they were good Christians. I'll say it again. You think you're a pretty good Christian, you're not. I think Isaiah was okay compared to people. And he said, woe is me. Woe is me. I'm not giving any excuse to sin. I'm saying, if you are right with God, you look at yourself and you're not satisfied. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the thongs from off the altar. And he said, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin is purged. Isaiah said, my lips are unclean, my tongue is unclean. So what did the seraphim do? They touched with a hot coal. Why? Because fire purifies. The Word of God purifies the life. In Psalm 119:6 it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" How can you young people, how can you be clean? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Read the word, follow the word, you'll be clean. John 15:3 says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Now some of your lives are crusted over with sin because you don't spend time in the Bible. And when you come to church, you don't really listen. You sit there and make excuses, or maybe you don't even listen at all. You just a daydream. If I were to take a survey and you were honest, I wonder how many people here this morning read one chapter in the Bible each day last week. When there's a breakdown in the reading and the studying of God's Word, sin creeps in. The Word of God is like a fire, and it burns and it purifies. But if you aren't reading it, the sin starts taking over. The Bible will purify the dross of pride. And oh, what a problem Fundamental Independent Baptists have with pride. The Bible says, "These six things doth the Lord hate." Well, we just read it. He hates it. "And yea, seven are abomination on him. And the first thing is a proud look. I know better. I know better. I know the Bible says this and the preacher preaches this, but I know better. I'm going to go my way. I'm not going to budge. I want to be in a good Bible-believing fundamental church, but I'm not going to let it really affect my life. I'm going to worship there." We need to have the rags of our own self-righteousness burned up. We need to have the leaves of our empty professions burned up. And the stubble and the questioning and doubt and the thorns and of our prickly temper and the roots of bitterness burned up. "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." You cannot live the kind of life you ought to as a Christian without reading the Bible. Coming to church, a Bible-believing church, and not just coming, but listening and wanting. Listen, you come to church and you don't change things. What are you coming for? What are you coming for? Let me say that again. You come to church and you don't change things. What are you coming for? To look good? Something else fire does. Fire burns and ignites the soul, and fire burns the conscience. Fire purifies the life, but it also illuminates the mind. A bright fire is a very effective light. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." Psalm 119:103 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." And in verse 29, "Therefore doth my soul keep them." Again, the Bible illuminates the mind. Now, sometime you'll hear of a Baptist that became a Jehovah's Witness. He didn't read his Bible. Or a Mormon. Today, since we had a Mormon running for president, people will say that's a Christian religion. It is a cult. It's anti-Bible. If you know your Bible, you're never going to... You say, you shouldn't speak against other people's religion. The Bible says I'm supposed to. And when somebody joins one of these cults It just shows they are ignorant to the Word of God. They're tossed to and fro and they're carried away with every wind of doctrine. I'm going to say something. God never leads contrary to this Word. Never. I remember a woman wanted to talk to me, or maybe I wanted to talk to her, I don't know, but we got together. And she was going to divorce her good Christian husband. And after talking, I said, show me why you should out of God's Word. And she basically said, I don't know all that, but I just know I'm supposed to divorce him. No. If you believe the Bible, you'd never divorce. You're never going to divorce a Christian man. Okay? Now, Proverbs 23, verse 29. Turn there while I get to it. People sometimes will talk about compromisers, compromising preachers. And they'll say, I know they pray and they get their prayers answered. Let me say something. These preachers that say, just go back to the Catholic Church, it's okay. Or it's okay to drink. And that's what happens so often. It's okay to drink. It's okay to be divorced. That's the popular, what they call these big mega churches now. It's okay to do the jig and dance. It's okay. They're going contrary to the Bible. They don't read the Bible. You say, I don't understand it. Read it. It's easy to understand. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's the gospel in a nutshell. There it is. Well, I believe you're saved by works. For by grace are ye saved. That's enough right there. For by grace are ye saved through faith and not of yourselves. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Well, I believe you're saved by works. You don't believe the Bible. Simple. You get yourself just a cheap Bible and read it. Now, when it comes to booze, look at Proverbs 23:29. Now, let me stop here again and say, there are Baptist churches who say it's okay to drink. The university that I graduated from, and several in here graduated from, put a book out saying it's okay to drink. If you're just discreet. Oh, you say they pulled the book. Yeah, when people like us hammered them over the head. When they were going to lose money and lose students. It's very common now for people who say they believe the Bible to say it's okay to drink. But what does the Bible say? Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without a cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Who? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in a cup, when it moveth itself aright, when it's fermented. At the last it biteth like a serpent, it stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Now think about that a little bit. That's a drunk. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I shall seek it yet again. That's what booze does. So I don't care what any preacher says. I don't care if they're Baptist, Episcopal, Hindu. I don't care what they are. They're wrong. You see, it's the Bible. Turn to 1 Timothy 2. What about women preachers? Sharon and I were out to lunch Friday, and we were sitting across from two women, and I'm an eavesdropper. And one was a pastor of a church, and one was her bishop. And boy, they look like preachers. Just plop in their breeches, you know, and hair shorter than mine, and they look like preachers. Now, you say, you're prejudiced. No, I'm not. If you just read the Bible, I'm just reading one passage concerning these things, and one passage is enough. But there's not one hint that a woman should ever pastor a church. Not one hint. Well, you say, I believe in it. My aunt's a preacher. I don't care who your aunt is. It's what the Bible says. And one passage that's clear is 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Uh-oh. What does that mean? I'm sorry. The women are to shut up. Oh, you make me mad. I did it on purpose. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Now, you take the Bible as a whole. They can teach children and they can teach women. But verse 12 says, I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, you talk to people, lady preachers, or people that have a lady preacher, they'll say, I just don't believe that. Then take the Bible and throw it in the garbage. Because it's worthless to you. The Bible is clear. And I could go on to any subject. You say, you're just a belligerent, old-fashioned, old coot. Well, that's true. But I believe the Bible. Amen. And then the word fuses fellowship. Now, when I say fuse, it doesn't mean you walk around like a piece of dynamite with a short fuse. But we become of one mind and one heart when we're saved, right? Right. We have our differences, but we have one purpose. In Acts 2:41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Now, the church I was raised in, if you were going to be baptized, you got saved, then you had to wait a period of time, and then you had to come before a bunch of reprobate people, and they would judge whether you could be baptized or not. I don't see it. Then they that gladly received the Lord were baptized. It's not difficult to interpret. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together. Oh, you say, Brother Vogelin, I just love going out in the woods and seeing the daffodils coming, the green fingers coming up through the snow. That's how I worship. It's not what the Bible says. Bible says in Hebrews 10, 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Simple. It's right there. The best way to feel good is to go to church and get the devil preached out of you. I always said when I entered the ministry, I said to myself, I said, now, when I become a preacher, I want my toes stepped on. I don't want to go to a church where my toes aren't stepped on. That's why I've been doing it ever since. Why come to church and have your ears tickle? And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and the breaking of bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Look at chapter 4, verse 32. And the multitude of them, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Now what I'm saying is the result of learning the Bible and the preaching of the Bible is unity of thought. Unity of thought. Now I said this last Sunday morning. There are two groups in our church. And one group really believes, and one group doesn't believe as much. And most of it revolves around the family. And the group over here, their kids didn't turn out as well as what I preach. And so they gather together and they encourage each other to be mediocre. Now, let me say something. If my kids didn't turn out, I would jump out of that. I'd get out of that crew so fast and get in here with the people who believe. If you slipped up and you didn't do your job, don't blame God. Don't make excuses for God. It'll mess your life up in every area. But now, quickly, what should I do with the Bible? Believe it. When I say believe it, believe it. It'll affect your life. I've mentioned to you more than once, I went to school in the city of Chicago, and they have terrible schools now, and they had terrible schools, terrible education then. I didn't learn much at all. Now, some way I got in, and you had to try to get in then, to Iowa State University. And my first course was a third-level geology course. And I was scared to death. Just to be in college scared me to death. And I can remember an old stately-type school, all these old buildings and stuff. And they had marble benches all around. You ever see a marble bench after it rains? You can't see the water. It's just... And I'm sitting outside whatever the department was. I shouldn't say sitting. I sat down on a marble bench that was full of water. And my pants got all wet. That's the last thing I wanted to do before I went in my first college class. Wet pants. And I went in, and my professor was a young guy with a brand new PhD. Might as well have been in evolution. And one of the first things he said, just trying to orientate, he said, did you hear about the professor in a Florida university who told his students to write Jesus on a piece of paper and stomp on it? That happened just this week. That's what our secular universities want to do with our Christian kids. Stomp on it. Kid got expelled because he wouldn't stomp on it. But anyway, one of the first things this guy said, nice guy, enthusiastic, how many here believe in the inspiration of the Bible? I looked around. I got an education. There was one other guy. He was a Wheaton College graduate, and I found out later he believes in theistic evolution. How many believe the Bible? Okay, now he's going to come after us. Now, listen to me. That was one of the best things I ever did, is raise my hand and have that guy come after me. You've heard me say I'm shy, and I was really shy back then. But God gave me, as a Sunday school teacher, the chairman of the board of the Department of Chemistry. And he gave me all the ammo I needed. And every time he'd give me some ammo, and he'd just say, ask this question. And I don't mean because I was smart or knew anything, but this little kid made him look like a fool. Made him mumble and fumble all over the place. And what do you think that did for my faith? Don't be afraid to stand. I went to Moody Bible Institute for a while, and they were questioning the night school. They were questioning the verbal inspiration of the Bible. And you know what my opinion has always been, whether it's there or any other school, I am entitled to my opinion. And if you're standing for the Lord Jesus Christ, that opinion will be right. And when you stand, it will give you backbone. And some of you go to the state schools and the state colleges, and you got lockjaw. What it wouldn't make any difference. I'll tell you what. That's one thing. I went to the public schools, and Sharon and I both, and then went to these other schools, and we stood. You go to a state school, stand. You say it'll hurt my grade. Believe me, when I had a communist teacher all the way back then in sociology, it hurt my grade. It hurt my grade big time. But I stood. Get some backbone. Get some backbone. And then believe it, read it. You're not going to get the Bible into your system by osmosis. Read it. And then underline it. Now, some of you don't like it. Some of you neater than me. But if you see my Bible here, it's underlined. It's highlighted. You say, I don't like to do that. That's okay. It's not a doctrine. But you know what I like to do? I like to review it. I like some time, especially when I'm down and I'm tired and so forth. I like to go to Proverbs, or I like to go to Psalms, and just look at what I have highlighted and just read it and meditate on it. That's what you're supposed to do with the Bible. You're to believe it, you're to read it, you're to, I think, underline it, meditate, pray it in. And again, always pray, Lord, help me to do what the Bible's saying. And then respond to it. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own hearts. You know, if you ladies put on some makeup, you'd look at a mirror. If you didn't, you'd get your lipstick all over the place. And us guys, if we see a big mark or something like that, that's what a mirror's for. You look at it, you wash it off. And that's what the Bible's for. Respond to it. You read something, respond to it. And then obey it. Well, we're staying below average, but real soon it's going to be nice and warm and time to knock on doors. You see that wooden door out there has to do with our push to try and knock on many, 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 many doors. And we ought to look forward to the weather breaking. I'm not saying you can't knock on a door in January, but it sure is a lot easier. You get more accomplished in May. And apply the Bible. Don't just say, I believe it. Apply it. Stick by it. When it comes to your family, stick to it, men. Stick with it. And women, you go along with it and keep a clean life. And if you're not saved, get saved. The Bible says you're a sinner. We're sinners. And we deserve death and hell, but Jesus came and died for our sins. If we repent of the sin and turn to Christ, we can be saved. It's easy. There it is. You say, I heard somebody say, what about communion? What about baptism? They're good things. They're good. That has nothing to do with salvation. Read the Bible. Believe the Bible. Let's pray.